King, you have summoned me. What is it?
Take this here vibranium to the brother Miles as a gift from the people of Wakanda. Go and bring him the vibranium mic. He will use it wisely.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's absolutely nothing. What did you do before you were named a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have there? Ask Professor Maurice Miles Martinez, MC Brother Miles, and he'll tell you like it really is. You can shackle the hands of black people, you can jail the bodies of black people, but you cannot shackle or jail the minds of black people. Rise up, black man, black woman, and reach to go back to Africa.
My father was a Garveyite, thus Marcus Garvey can be thought of as my grandfather. But when you say, I've read in Dr. Ben's book, or I've read in Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's book, or I've read in Professor Maurice Miles Martinez's book, they say, don't speak that information in here. Brothers and sisters, speak your truth to the world.
Brother Miles, the black man's truth is here.
The real Wakandas of Africa podcast.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political, economic, and cultural time of day. Brother Miles, the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Free at last and proud to be black. One day Miles will be free at last.
Hey, Brother Miles, that was really great, man. I'm impressed.
Welcome to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast, the place where black history, hip-hop, and spoken word come together. I'm your host, Maurice Miles Martinez, also known as MC Brother Miles. At the end of each podcast, we have an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself. Welcome. I know I owe you a couple of podcasts, and they're going to be recorded and released this week as part of a three-part series on the topic that we're taking up today. All have an original poetry or hip-hop track at the end, and they'll be released every couple of days throughout the week. So definitely check this three-part series out. The topic at hand is pretty heavy. It is, do black people really score lower on standardized tests than do other ethnic groups like whites and Asians? And what I'm going to tell you over the course of these next three episodes, these next three podcasts, is that not only do black people not score lower, but there is evidence that black people score higher on standardized tests than do their European counterparts. Stay tuned, because every day or two I'm going to release a podcast this week, and this is a heavy topic. In fact, I wrote a book on this topic, which I'll share with you at a later point in time. If you search this idea online, you will find article after article explaining that African Americans score lower on standardized tests, to the point that many colleges have labeled graduate school admissions tests as being institutionally racist and have thrown them out, or they've made them an optional item on the application. But where did this whole idea start, that African people were less capable than Europeans at completing standardized tests that, as I'll say, have, yes, been normed on Europeans historically? This justification of lower scores started during the enslavement of black people. Thomas Jefferson said in the Notes on the State of Virginia, 1785, quote, I advance it therefore as a suspicion only, that the blacks, whether originally a distinct race or made distinct by time and circumstances, are inferior to the whites in the endowments both of body and mind. End quote. So this was the President of the United States saying this. And remember, 12 of the first 18 presidents enslaved black people. Now, this wasn't the first time that Europeans used racist language towards black people.
as it relates to the transatlantic slave trade, or to chattel slavery, or to what we know as the chattel slave war on African people. The Portuguese Gomes de Zurara, who lived until 1474, wrote that Africans were, quote, like beasts without any custom of reasonable beings. They had no understanding of good, but only knew how to live in the bestial sloth, end quote. And this was used to justify the Portuguese enslavement of Africans by Prince Henry the Navigator. Now, there were earlier historical iterations of race-based commentary and prejudice, but this was the first time with the Portuguese and with Europeans that this language was used to justify the enslavement of African people and ultimately the chattel slave war and the transatlantic slave trade. And during the 1500s, as the English explored the coast of West Africa, they asserted that they were superior both racially and in dress, and referred to Africans as having a lack of civilization. And later, this becomes codified as popular thought as the English enslaved Africans and brought them to the Caribbean and to the Americas, and then ultimately to the North American colonies that we know as the 13 colonies or the United States of America today. Subsequently, French poet Jacques de Brézé first used the term race in a 1481 hunting poem. And in 1606, this actually was defined in a French dictionary as, quote, race means descent, end quote. Now, I had a professor once who tried to dismiss all of these examples of institutional racism by saying that there was no racism until the scientific racism came along in the world during the late 1700s and early 1800s, and this is simply not true. He was only labeling racism as scientific racism and ignoring the rest from all other groups like the Portuguese and the English and the French before this time. So you see, this idea of African intellectual inferiority persisted and was used to justify the enslavement of African people. But it doesn't stop there. It continued and continued beyond slavery. For example, a representative in the United States House of Representatives, presidential candidate, and a man who served as the 7th Vice President of the United States, who went by the name of John C. Calhoun, stated that, quote, I hold that in the present state of civilization, where two races of different origin and distinguished by color and other physical differences as well as intellectual are brought together, the relation now existing in the slaveholding states between the two is, instead of evil, a good, a positive good, end quote. Now, Calhoun was a clear racist, arguing for the intellectual inferiority of Africans, but you wouldn't think that of Abraham Lincoln, who's known to be the great emancipator. But even Abraham Lincoln promoted this idea. Quote, he said, quote, I will say, then, that I am not, nor have ever been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. That I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say, in addition to this, that there is a physical difference between the white and black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality, and inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be the position of superior and inferior, and I, as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race." End quote. So Lincoln was not in favor of making voters or jurors of black people from this statement, which came from the Lincoln-Douglas debates. So this is earlier, a little earlier on in his career, but at this time he's not, which implies that he did not feel that free black people were intelligent enough to be voters or jurors. Unfortunately, there were already black men, a few at this time in some northern states, that could vote. So Lincoln should have known better. And while Lincoln made a small overture before he was assassinated that he felt that some, and I say some, not all, black people could get the vote, he also made a larger overture to send black people to another country. And he tested this idea by setting up a colony off the coast of Haiti on an island called Ile Avachi. See the podcast on Lincoln's Abraham Lincoln earlier. Now, Lincoln should have known better when it came to the vote. In fact, there's a book on this topic. It's called The First Reconstruction, Black Politics in America, From the Revolution to the Civil War by Van Gossey. And this explains that black people voted in the North before the Civil War and sometimes even swayed elections. So Lincoln should have known better when he made that comment. Now, this continues onward. Woodrow Wilson implemented segregation in federal government offices in the early 1900s. He screened The Birth of a Nation in the White House, which was a racist film of black men being aggressive toward white women and portrayed black people as unintelligent. He screened this in the White House. So this idea of intellectual inferiority continued on throughout other presidents. For example, Richard Nixon said, quote, "Within groups, there are geniuses. There are geniuses within black groups. There are more within Asian groups." End quote. So this culminates in a book by Herrnstein and Murray called The Bell Curve, which was very popular in the late 1980s and early 1990s. And it argued that whites and Asians fundamentally have higher standardized test scores and higher IQ test scores, and thus they were superior intellectually. In the next episode of this mini-series on black intelligence and black intelligence tests, we will explore the standard argument that we've discussed here and how this is typically combated by intellectuals and shown to be flawed. Later in this series, we will actually look at the idea that black people score higher, yes, higher, on standardized tests that have been standardized on Europeans than Europeans do. And this is some heavy information. If you've never heard of this before, tune in into the next episode, because this is a fascinating topic. I mean, this is never shared with anyone. As always, we conclude the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast with an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. Presidents from Jefferson to Lincoln to Woodrow Wilson to Nixon advocated for the inferiority of the African, where Wilson's screening of The Birth of a Nation in the White House and implementation of federal government segregation was no different than Lincoln's statement in the Douglas debate, son, that the black race was inferior to the white in this nation, was no different than Jefferson's all men were created equal except the less intelligent black daughters and sons. Tragic thing is he had several with Sally Hemings, to John C. Calhoun's musing about blacks being less intelligent, similar to that of Nixon, who landed on the wrong side of the fence. I could take this right until the present, but I will leave that research to you hence, for Herrnstein and Murray's bell curve was supported by so many intellectuals' mouths. Let's explore this further en route as I dismantle these racist lies put on us by a foul mouth individual. Take him out.
Thank you for listening to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast. When you have a chance, please pick a copy of my books up from Amazon, The Real Wakandas of Africa, Dr. John Henry Clark vs. Herman Cain, The Great Wall of Africa, The Empire of Benin's 10,000-mile-long wall, The Real Vibranium of Africa, and Akhenaten's Dreams by Maurice Miles Martinez. You can also subscribe to this podcast and become a regular sustaining member by clicking the link in the podcast. You can donate from $1 to $10 per month, and this makes an enormous difference in supporting this podcast and my research. Thank you again for listening to me, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. I will speak with you next week.